Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
I was just looking at the little bulletin coming across the sports wire. Serena Williams.
Sorry, that was apparently a late start to the Olivia Newton-John song I pulled.
I guess so. It's okay. We will always make room for Olivia. As I think I was saying, just looking at the breaking news from the sports world, Serena Williams saying that after the U.S. Open, she will evolve away from tennis. People can't even say retire these days. You know, she will evolve away from tennis. So good luck to her. I mean, did you see the, what was the movie about Venus and Serena's dad, Will Smith?
King played? Richard. I did not
King
see
Richard.
It. I did not see it, though.
Obviously, this was pre-Oscar slap, but surprisingly good movie. I was not sure what to expect, and I was very impressed by that.
Well, it was the reason that Will Smith was at the Oscars. It was, I believe, right. That performance is what was receiving accolades that evening when that happened. So
yeah, and it was such a good movie, and now it's like I don't even want to see the guy. But you know, that's my problem, not yours. Sports closer to home, the Brewers had the day off yesterday. They begin a 2-game series at American Family Field with the Tampa Bay Rays. Freddie Peralta will be pitching for the Brewers this evening at 7:10, and then they play again tomorrow afternoon. And I'm thankful that that is at American Family Field, because I have been to the Tampa Bay Rays ballpark, and it's a dump. Is it still called Tropicana Field? I don't even know, but people, having been to the Metrodome many a time, the Metrodome was not ideal, but I mean, playing it at that, it was a tin can. It really was like playing in a can of tuna in Tampa.
I believe it's still Tropicana Field, but I don't think that they've gotten the stadium improvements that Miami has gotten. Cause I believe there's like hot tubs and fish tanks and stuff down at, forget what Miami calls theirs, but they have a very state-of-the-art facility for the Marlins.
No doubt. Whereas in St. Petersburg, which is where this thing is, I happen to be down there for a conference or something like that, and had the evening free. And of course, being the big baseball fan I was and am, would go wherever I could to see another ballpark, and immediately regretted my choice. But at least I can say that I saw it, got to smell it. It's a rather musty place. But the last time the Brewers were there, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but several weeks back, was one of the craziest games, because there were four different balls that were judged fair or foul by how they hit the catwalks that, you know, go along the roof of Tropicana Field. It's you know, that's pinball. That is no way to play baseball. And you know, I don't have anything against Tampa St. Pete. If they could get a decent ballpark, that would be fine. But boy, does that thing need to go. But while we're on the subject of things involving Florida, let's go ahead and tackle the big story from late yesterday. And that is, you know, federal agents that were, you know, sent to the estate of the ex-president, and what they call a raid. It's not a raid if you're executing a search warrant. It went through all the hoops of, you know, going to an independent judge, everything else.
I believe it was court ordered as well. It wasn't even just like the DOJ wanted to do it. It sounds, from my interpretation of the news stories, because I didn't see it until late last night. Like I was doing many other things yesterday evening, and then I opened up the Twitter and saw this story was breaking, and like you said, all the memes and whatnot. But it sounds like the National Archives wanted the documents that Trump left the White House with, and they asked several different times, and then the National Archives took them to court, and it was a court-ordered search and seizure.
In much the same way that Al Capone was finally caught for tax evasion, if this is a case of Donald Trump finally having justice done through the National Archivists, the lesson in both cases is clear. Don't mess with the nerds. The nerds will get you in time. And in this
clerical
case,
clerical errors.
Yeah.
Errors.
And the thing about these documents, okay, this was not, these were not like, you know, little journal entries and, you know, sweet little notes from, you know, North Korean dictators. You know, there are real and vital sensitive documents that have to stay closely protected, which is never going to happen in the tiny hands of the 45th president, who had a tough time understanding that the presidency, much like the country, belongs to the people and not to a person, not to any one person. Where you really saw that early on in Trump's presidency was in the way that he treated the U.S. attorney general as if it were his attorney, and it's not. The attorney general is the attorney for the United States government and has a measure of independence from the presidency, at least in a non-corrupt presidency. The same can be said about documents. Again, not happy little notes, but, you know, the daily briefings that involve national security, you know, things like that. Those records are not yours personally. If you are the president, they belong to the country. This was borne out after Watergate when Nixon was looking to have some records destroyed. So Congress, Republicans and Democrats, remember there was honor back then, you know, came together and made sure that sensitive records had proper security on them. And Donald Trump had already laid out the precedent that he could not be trusted, that he has been a national security threat since January 20th, 2017, the moment he walked in. It has been documented the way that he has provided what should have been classified information, you know, to others, because he is a loose cannon. He cannot be trusted. And worse, he may be worse than a loose cannon, whether he's a, you know, an asset or simply a tool. We'll never know, because, to go off on a slight tangent here, we still have not seen Donald Trump's taxes. We still don't know his foreign debts and obligations. We don't know if there is any leverage from Russia or others over him. And so going back to 2016, the man never deserved a vote from any American because of that lack of transparency, that we don't know if we can trust you. And so whether he is, you know, being used, or whether he is a willing accomplice in what some foreign entity might be doing, we don't know. So there were these, what, 15 boxes of documents that that he took from the White House down to Mar-a-Lago. It's one thing to have it. Having it, these documents, is one thing. Doing something with them is another. And again, we're getting into conjecture here, but there had to be some evidence of some kind of activity for, again, for a judge to give their okay on search warrants. We don't know what information is in there. We don't know if information was being shared, if information was being sold, if there was simply the implied possibility of it. But again, these are not innocent pieces of paper gathering dust in a room in Mar-a-Lago where, you know, they hang coats. It just doesn't work that way. So you have now, unfortunately, the reaction to it. And the reaction from Trump is expected. You know, he's a victim. You know, he's a victim, and this gets him some more attention, and that's fine. But the reaction from Trump supporting Republicans has been, you know, beyond shameful, you know, beyond distressing to Americans who believe in the rule of law. For just one example, let's see if I can find the one from, here's one from the senator from Florida, Marco Rubio. Pardon me, I need a drink of water for a second here. There's my Marco Rubio humor for the day, where Rubio said last evening, "Using government power to persecute political opponents is something we see in third world Marxist dictatorships, but never before in America." Thankfully, Twitter doesn't die. And so the tweet from 2016 is from Marco Rubio is, The FBI's decision regarding Hillary Clinton's mishandling of classified emails once again proves she is disqualified from being commander-in-chief. You have other House Republicans saying, you know, if the FBI can do this to a former president, they can do it to you, which reminds us, yeah, the fact that the law applies to the president, just like all the rest of us, is a feature of democracy, not a bug, as was pointed out on Twitter. And, you know, the Republicans continue to show that when the rule of law is applied equally, they're not happy about it. But that really just gets us back to the notion of an entire political class that is, in essence, they're apologists for both a criminal class and for things like corporate misbehavior. I come back to the comments I made yesterday about the Inflation Reduction Act and a minimum 15% corporate income tax, so that there is a sense of fairness. And you immediately had a group on the right saying this is a terrible thing, this tax fairness, because corporations will just pass all of it on. And while we already know that's not true, the larger issue for me is, why are you making excuses for somebody jacking up your prices in order for them to be required to pay their fair share for the resources they use, for the roads that they use, for, you know, for the workforce that they bring on and have to treat decently? To be an apologist for this shows that disconnect of people who don't understand that a certain group of politicians and a certain group of the corporate class, they're not there for you. They're using you. When you repeat their talking points about government waste, you are the waste that they're talking about. I would reference back to my story about passenger rail in Western Wisconsin and how, you know, a couple of days after Scott Walker got elected in 2010, somebody with the Passenger Rail Commission said, I supported Walker. I never thought that he would come after passenger rail. You're the waste they're talking about when they're looking for any degree of power and any degree of public support. So here we are back to Trump, people apologizing for him, people like Kevin McCarthy, the House Republican leader, who again is already, you know, measuring the, you know, the windows for drapes in the majority leader's office, in the speaker's office, assuming that Republicans are going to take control this November, already promising to investigate Merrick Garland, the attorney general, over this. Well, that's hardly a surprise. I mean, aren't we expecting, Luke, that if Republicans take the House, let's see, Congress would come into session January 3rd of 2023. Can we assume they'd at least wait 24 hours and Joe Biden would be impeached on January 4th, 2023?
I have a feeling it would probably be within that first 24 hours. I believe that they would be whipping those votes and floating those articles immediately. On what grounds? Whatever they feel like. But yeah, they're going to have those pretty quick.
Yeah. And so we already know what things are going to look like if a Derek Van Orden is in the majority of the House of Representatives. And here's what it will not involve. It will not involve actually fighting inflation. It will not involve, you know, actually doing something about tax fairness. It will not have something to do with fighting COVID, because we've already seen, you know, the apologists and the deniers for, you know, the spread of COVID across the state. You'll see the attacks on, you know, continued attacks on abortion rights, contraceptive rights, gay marriage. Just an entire, you know, rise of extremism is what we're going to get. So if something is going to come of this Mar-a-Lago search warrant, it's going to have to happen before January 3rd, because otherwise, much like the plans for passenger rail in Wisconsin, they can be derailed by just one election. We'll take this break, wrap up our hour's discussion after this. You're up north.